This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Brock Rahm.
My degree in biology is paying off right here.
Karina Anglada.
We're putting everything out on the table.
And Darius Thomas.
Hey, I need work. I need work. I need work. I need work.
Andy Torres is a 3D motion designer who has worked with brands all across sports. With large sweeping moves and a style that is uniquely his, we find out how this former science major found his way from the Beaker Lab to the Render Lab. We touch on AI's usefulness, following your own path, and building a skill set that has value in the marketplace.
In every meeting, I have Metro Boomin's Heroes and Villains album playing all the time.
Metro Boomin.
This is like my good luck charm.
So you're saying we're boring?
No, not at all, not at all. Ever since he's dropped it, well, it's a great album, one. And then, yeah, it's just been a good luck charm. So I'm like, all right, let's not change anything.
I love it. Cool. Well, that's awesome. Well, I figured we were already started the conversation.
Wait.
Oh, the clip.
Are we?
Sorry, I got excited.
Are we skipping?
I forgot. We're not skipping.
Are we doing a thing?
Skip the running gag.
Go ahead, Darius.
Well, it's a new season. We could do what we want to do. Justin, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, 30.
I kind of guessed there. I accidentally clicked away, but I clicked into my head, and I think I was early.
Hey, it wasn't bad.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller Effects, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step by step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
We are so excited for today's guest, Andy Torres. There's so much to discuss, so much to talk about. So we're going to get right into it. But for those who don't know about your background and what you do, what do you do?
I do 3D animation, VFX work. How I like to explain it is, long story short, I play Legos professionally, light things around, and animate cameras, make things move.
Love it. And where did you start your love for 3D animation and VFX? Was it something that you were always interested in when you were a kid? Yep. What was your background and your journey towards this field?
I love telling this story because 2020, you know, obviously COVID happened and pandemic, so we're locked in. And I'm like, okay, well, can't go shoot. Projects were just put on pause for the moment. And I'm like, okay, let me just play video games for the whole week. And then that got really boring, believe it or not. I'm like, well, I've always wanted to learn 3D. Don't know if you guys are familiar with Gibson Hazard. Huge inspiration for me. And I'm like, okay, how does he do this? Let's look into it, whatever. And then I found out about Cinema 4D. You know, Blender, all these other render engines. I'm like, okay, this is a lot. Kind of scary. Put it away. I played more video games. Next weekend, I'm like, all right, actually, let's lock down. Let's get a cup of coffee. And I remember taking a course on Skillshare. I vividly remember the album. It was like a mouse or something. I don't know, random. But took a 10-hour course all the way through Saturday. And I'm like, all right. And I was so excited when once I was able to like move this little bike. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And then that's where it all started, to be honest, 2020.
Oh my God. You said I thought you'd been doing this for years.
Same.
Years
Same.
And years and years and years and years.
We need to like, talk about that.
Like the fact that you picked this up during the pandemic is crazy to me because like everything that goes into what you do, the world building and the animation, camera movements, and the way that you can string it all together and make it look like it all feels seamless is unbelievable to me for only having been doing it for a couple of years now.
I appreciate that. You know, it's not just me. It's, you know, love collaborating with all these creatives and, you know, ideation, transition moments. But yeah, I definitely love that world building aspect. Like I just love animating and making things move. Yeah, just seeing it come to life, whether it's my vision or a client's vision, it's like so sick every time.
Before the show, you were telling us you were a biology major in college. Is there any crossover there? Are you ever like, yes,
I
my degree in biology is paying
frogs.
Off right here.
I miss dissecting frogs, sharks.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Any crossover, I always say, like, you know, it was not a waste of time, to be honest. What biology taught me was really how to just sit down, study, just study for hours. Even now, I still like work a lot, obviously, but not as much studying. But when I do, it's like I'm locked in, and like the focus can't be broken, really, to be honest, unless it's like, oh, client deadline, then obviously I have to work. But yeah, biology is, it was great. It just taught me a lot how to study.
I do think this industry is one of the few that you can kind of major in anything. Mm-hmm. And then it comes down to your willingness to learn and, you know, your self-motivation and your work ethic to kind of go from there. Right. Justin, I don't know about you, but even majoring in this tangentially, you know, the majority of, well, I say that because Jeff, for those who don't know, Justin and I went to college together. I feel like we don't bring that up outside of like the first episode every once in a while.
We just assume that everybody knows everything.
We just assume everybody knows everything. So we had the same classes. So when I say like, how much did you learn in class? Not much, yeah. You know, it's mostly outside of it. You know, I want to talk a little bit about your creative eye, because I kind of talk about it with a lot of visual designers on this podcast. Do you feel like you've always just kind of had an eye for design, or is that something you had to teach yourself?
A little of both. As far as design goes, I get my inspiration from so many industries, not just sports. It's music, whether it's commercial work, it's like the most random stuff I just like following. Before we started the podcast today, I was mentioning like, oh, I used to make music here and there, and I just stopped. But yeah, even that, just DJs and how they light their scenes and like, you know, and concerts, just like everything, just random stuff. And I'm still learning here and there, but yeah, just inspiration from, yeah, just everyone, to be honest. And the camera stuff is something that people comment on all the time. They're like, you know, obviously we love the world building, but the camera, man, how do you do the cameras? Is there a plugin? our good friend Justin Law and I were in a group chat with the homies, 3D homies, it's called. Shout out, homies. They're like, yo, what's the plugin? I'm like, hey, there's no plugin. Here's my screen recording, and it's all the most wild camera curves.
So when you play with cameras, though, do you have a vision ahead of time? Do you know, okay, the camera's going to start here, it's going to end here, it's going to go through this? Like, or is it a little bit more innovative on the fly, or a combination of both? Like, how do you plan a project when you first start it?
Yeah, great question. Sometimes it's just winging it. you know, the client says, oh, we want to do a fly through of LA or a fly through of, you know, the ring. The Super Bowl ring specifically was one of the more challenging ones because they wanted to highlight, you know, very specific parts. So I'm like, okay. But yeah, it's mostly like, okay, I started doing, 3D animation, mostly because I'm a videographer as well, but I wanted to get these like specific angles that I couldn't do. And I almost picked up FPV drone because I wanted to get those angles, but got sidetracked with this, but this is great too. And yeah, so
sidetracked.
And now I only animate, which is great. But yeah, I just get inspiration from FPV pilots and try and imitate those a little bit. I like to describe my cameras as like handheld FPV, just because it kind of feels like a human is like flying it, but kind of not really. As far as like camera paths go, I don't know. Sometimes it's just happy accidents happen. And it's like, yo, this is crazy move. I didn't plan it, but I'll say to the client, yeah, I totally planned that. And how that light just hit. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, sometimes it's on the fly, just winging it.
For those who don't know, the Super Bowl ring that he's referring to is the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl ring. Google it right now. It's incredible if you haven't seen it already. Was that one of your favorite projects that you've worked on, or do you have others or any other fun behind the scenes moments with that particular project?
Yeah, every project is my favorite project. I love my clients. that was a great one because obviously
always root for the paycheck, right? Go paycheck.
All day. No, the Chiefs was great. Solely because I didn't grow up being a Chiefs fan. I actually just became a Chiefs fan when I interned there. Another fun nugget. I interned there 2018, 2019, I want to say.
Oh, so you were right after I left. I guess I didn't know you interned there.
No, I think you left when 2017?
2017.
Yeah, I was.
So you were with Seth and Seth Anna and Brad and
Brad.
Yeah,
great squad. But
yeah,
what was it? Yeah, that's when I started becoming a Chiefs fan. And honestly, sports in general, I didn't watch any football, NBA, nothing until college, because I was forced to because of band. And I'm like, oh, we have to, you know, play a certain song at first down, second down, third down. And I just learned, and I'm like, all right, football is crazy. Keep watching. And yeah, so I want to say, yep, that's one of my favorite projects, the Super Bowl ring. A recent fun one was the Navy one. I don't know if you guys happen to watch that one, but that one was really cool. Just don't really do underwater scenes, but I got, again, a lot of happy, like, light streaks going on accident. And I'm like, yo, okay, let's do some more underwater stuff.
Going back to the Chiefs ring, when you have something like that, like, it's one thing to get an image of it. Did you get a model, or did you have to create the model? Like, how did all that work? Because in order to do something in 3D, you actually have to have something built for you that you can highlight and focus on the different elements.
Right.
And obviously the way that you flew the camera around it highlighted some specific points.
100%. Yeah, that one specifically. And thankfully, they had a model ready for me, because I think for that project, we had maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, fairly quick. So I asked, that was the first thing, like, yo, yeah, I'm excited about this project, but do we have a model that we can just, you know, texture, light, and do everything? Like, yes, we got the exact model. Here you go. Yeah, and a lot of the projects, yeah, there's a lot of modeling from scratch that we have to do. But thankfully, like I mentioned earlier, it's not just me. Thankfully, got a lot of homies, specifically the 3D homies. Shout out my friend Emilio. He's always on call. I'm like, hey, man, you don't have to work on this at 11 when I texted you. Like, please do not. But he's always there for me, and I appreciate that a lot. And as well as other artists, Ben Gillespie, Emilio, just, yeah, specific people. Right now that I'm thinking of.
Is that pretty common? Like I saw one that you had done with the Houston Texans as well, to see NRG Stadium in the background. Is that pretty common that you do you build that? Or is there some way that you can kind of half build something, half fake it, and only show what's necessary? How do you go about that?
Yeah, so that's funny you say that, because I'm currently on a project that we don't have much time for, so we're only modeling the front part, and the rest of the stadium or whatever is not modeled. But you don't see that. But a lot of these models are available for anyone to buy on these websites like Turbo Squid, CG Trader, Hum3D, like the most random websites. But sometimes, you know, those stadiums, like the newer ones, don't exist yet. And so thankfully I have very talented animators, other motion designers that are able to help and specialize in that. Because I can model, but not as well as them. And also I have to build out everything else. So I'm just blessed and fortunate to, you know, have teammates like that.
That's amazing. What goes into, from a like privacy standpoint and like a behind the scenes, right? Like, it seems like you have a lot of projects that are, what's the word? You know, high profile, and right, like you're the first person to see these things. Like, ring reveals are huge.
Right.
What goes into that? Like, do you get excited when you get those projects and like intro videos? Like, what are the types of projects that really excite you the most? And what is the behind the scenes for some of those things?
Absolutely. No. Privacy, that the Super Bowl ring for the Chiefs was one of the very first that was like, you know, you're the only one that's seen this right now. Like, no one in the office has seen it. You know, do not share it. It's like, I was excited, but then I thought about it more and I'm like, okay, I can't mess up. I cannot mess up. So that was an experience. But yeah, the intro videos, anytime I just get an email just randomly throughout the day, I'm like super excited, because like, okay, how can I, you know, help the client with their vision? What's something else different that I can try? And most importantly, how can I, you know, bring my squad together and like elevate this to an even, you know, even bigger vision? So that's honestly the vision for 2024, is just, you know, bringing on a lot more people to help out with the projects and just make them even better than what they are now.
How do people reach out to you? Are you sending notes to the teams? Like, how are you building your clientele list? Because, you know, right now your projects are astounding, but I can imagine, like, you know, you talked about it, like you really sat down and locked in on this journey back in 2020. How has that evolved from when you really first started to now?
Right. Yeah, I get mostly contacted through Instagram DMs, believe it or not. Very rarely on email. And I'm always asking them like, hey, by the way, how did you find me? And they're like, oh, we found you, mm-hmm. you know, on email or Instagram, someone shared, whatever. But it all really changed once I went full-time freelance about, what, a year and 6 months ago, 5 months ago. I don't know if people were just eyeing me to leave or what, but yeah, everything just like, everyone just started reaching out after that, especially after, and I'm plugging the Slack channel, after I joined the Slack channel, Sports Creative, and just, you know, started sharing there, like, oh, look what I did, this blah, 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 blah. But yeah, it's ever since I started 3D, the biggest thing for me is like just posting your work, showing your work, process, you know, behind the scenes type of stuff. I'm currently scrolling on my Instagram page, and I did this little challenge with my ex-coworkers, basically calling it weekly trash. But basically, we would give each other prompts of like, okay, this week, we're doing the words glass, chair, and brick. And then we have to create something from scratch. And you can interpret it however you want. And so that just, you know, putting those reps in is what really got me out there, I would say.
What kind of goes into your, I know you just talked about the, you know, the weekly trash of like, how do you decide how much you want to market yourself and when to do it? Like, is there a strategy? Hey, I want to post at least 15 videos to kind of market, or has the kind of bucket been filled with, you know, people just flooding your DMs and, hey, we saw this, we want something like that?
100%. Yeah. Lately, definitely blessed again to just be flooded with DMs. So I can't really, you know, and I've been wanting to do, you know, tutorials or, you know, more stills type of work. Someone just reached out, I believe like 2 or 3 days ago, saying like, hey, like, do you happen to have a course or something? And I'm like, unfortunately, no, but can I help you right now? Let's hop on a call. He's like, no, thanks. It would take a long time, but I appreciate you. So that's something I want to do. And I totally forgot the question. I don't know if that answered the question.
Oh, no. So that was part of it. But like, how much are you deciding to like put yourself out there versus just letting the work speak for itself and people?
Right. Timing. Yeah. I guess for like bigger moments, whether it's for CFP coming up, you know, I'm going to tweet out, you know, some stills from Super Bowl trophy, AFC trophy, that type of stuff, or even like, you know, just tease other moments. And specifically the CFP one, that one was crazy because I did a piece for fun, and that's something important for 3D in general, I think, or anything really. If you want to like do this full time, you just got to put in the work, obviously, but also like make sure that you actually enjoy it. I did a Super Bowl piece, or a Super Bowl piece, college football playoff trophy piece, a year ago, year and a half ago, just for fun. And that's actually how I got on their radar. And they didn't reach out for like a year, year and a half. And they said, oh, we've been meaning to, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know where I was going with that story. So I'm just going to stop.
No, that's, I mean, you're going, like, you're answering it. And like, you market it yourself by essentially what you said, putting in the reps. And it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you did a project for fun centered around college, you know, football playoff. And then, you know, maybe the payoff wasn't there immediately after, but it came over a year later. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say that. Yep, that's where I was going. Like, why am I talking about this? Exactly.
That's awesome.
I'll jump in with a little bit more of that because all of us except Karina all of us have done freelance, but Justin and I are more so full time. Plus, We don't really talk a whole lot about strategy as a freelancer and how people are, you know, kind of navigating the space. And I can speak for myself. Justin probably can attest to this. It's got to be a better strategy than just throwing a bunch of stuff out there, right?
Right.
But also not coming off as thirsty, is, hey, I need work. I need work. Right. I need work. I need work. So it's always interesting.
It's like the spray. It's like the spray and pray as spray a videographer.
Right. Yeah, right. Just,
I mean, that's a great analogy. Amazing. Sorry, cut you off, Darius.
Oh, no. It's great because there are so many more people in our space now versus when, you know, 10 years ago of people doing freelance. Like the only thing I knew freelance 10 plus years ago was for if you were working a television game, mm-hmm. as a utility or a camera op
or video board show.
You know,
yeah.
Right. Or, you know, a camera shader. Now, every corner you walk on, you can find a freelance videographer, graphic designer, motion design, all of that. So I think it would be great conversation to kind of talk about how we're navigating that space and doing it in a way where we're not burning each other out,
yeah.
or burning ourselves out.
Yeah, 100%. That's tough because sometimes I just need to take a break. So, and that's just coming from a place of just, you know, I guess, what is it? Just blessings, I guess. But when I was starting out and I was, you know, oh, I want to work on this. I wouldn't necessarily spam, but I would like connect with other artists and say like, hey, like, do you want to hop on a project together? And then just gas them up, not solely just to get clients, but like just make mm-hmm. connections, genuine connections. Cause I'm still learning here and there about, oh, this blah, 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 this plugin. What about this? And just collaboration is huge for me. And I think marketing just happened naturally just because like it's word of mouth. And I want to give a shout out to Chris Ramirez from the Bulls. Cause ever since that first project, I love Chris. Ever since that project, everything has just like flooded in the DMs. And so that's what I would say, like making genuine connections is my marketing, I would say.
Yeah. And it's also interesting going back to the CFP situation. Some people don't have any patience. And if you don't have any patience, freelancing full time may not be your
good
thing.
Luck.
Like you may do something today and it's a year or 6 months, mm-hmm. or you may have a conversation this week and it may be down the line. If you don't have patience, get some, or you're going to create so much stress, anxiety, and worry because it's not coming right after the conversation.
Right.
You can either play the long game or the short game. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Absolutely. And it's funny that, you know, we're talking about this within the sports realm because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's sometimes hurry up and wait. Some of these projects are what, a week long, 2 weeks. But yeah, as far as motion design, especially specifically 3D, like at least in my experience, it's been a long journey and you got to like love it. You gotta love it because that 10-hour course, low key, I was falling asleep at some points, but you gotta build that strong foundation. And yeah, just find ways to entertain yourself a little bit throughout the course. But yeah, delayed gratification is very important.
Love it.
Can we jump back a little bit to where you were before you broke out and went freelance? Because I think that might inform a little bit about why you went freelance, but also some of the connections that you had made ahead of time and developed as you headed into freelance that might have helped you jump out with a little bit stronger footing than you otherwise might have had.
Yeah, 100%. I started motion design in college. I want to say sophomore or junior year. So I was in the band, right? And that's where, I found out about GoPro because one of my friends, Billy Quatch, shout out Billy. He brought a GoPro to, I want to say, the Texas Bowl whenever Arkansas was better than they are now. Oops. and he was just recording everything. And I'm like, what is that? Where's that camera? And so, long story short, bought that camera, started editing. And that just added more motion design in that for band stuff. But then I went to the Chiefs, did video there. Some photography, but mostly video editing, shooting video games. And after that, they offered full time, but I low key did not enjoy the Monday through Saturday. I only really enjoyed the Sunday games. So I'm like, okay, let's go back freelance at home and see what happens. But that's when I joined another agency, and then COVID happened, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't shoot anything. Clients aren't calling. Let's just dive in. And yeah, I think going on those work trips, I would meet some people, but it was mostly, like I mentioned earlier, just connecting with other creatives because, you know, they have connections to this other creative or that creative has connections to a certain client, XYZ. And yeah, it's mostly been just socializing. Don't know if that answered your question, but.
No, yeah, it did. I wasn't sure if Justin, you wanted to jump in.
Oh, no, you look like you were going to say something. So
I know. That's why I paused. I was like, wait. I want to revisit something you mentioned when you started out with that Skillshare course, that 10-hour Skillshare course.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you were a little scared going into it. What were you scared of? And what did you do to get over that fear?
Yeah. Mostly a brand new program. Because I was, you know, very, very used to like linear programs where it's, you know, you drop this clip here, you edit, make cuts. Mm-hmm. But this, there's so many buttons everywhere. And like, I don't even know how to move the camera around interface. It was very, very new stuff. But I'm like, you know what? I don't know if we're allowed to curse here, but I said, F it, just do it scared. And eventually mm-hmm. it'll happen. And thankfully, I like studying for hours. So it just naturally happened that, okay, I'll just become a quote-unquote master at this, even though I'm nowhere near that.
I love that. I feel like in your story, it's really cool to hear about your background in biology, right? And how you were able to take that act of sitting down for hours and truly studying. I think that's a skill that any creative can have. And it's tough nowadays, right? Because our attention is in every which direction. But right. You combined your background with biology and that ability to sit down and focus. Plus, I feel like your natural interest in video games, which a lot of people, you were probably realizing without realizing it, like studying camera movements while playing games for years, right? So I'm curious,
so
like,
true.
do you look to video games for a lot of inspiration still to this day? Or if you're like stuck on a project,
yeah.
Do you take a step back and say, oh, like, let me watch my favorite movie or let me watch, like, play my favorite video game and see how they do something? Do you pull inspiration from that?
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that because, yeah, low key, I was studying how why a certain scene made me feel a certain way, whether it's like exhilarating, whether it's like, I don't know. So I would agree with you that I do study those. But yeah, and I'm also glad that you mentioned, wow, this is weird. I'm glad that you mentioned that I step back to watch movies now because lately, at least a month ago, I was just like working nonstop and my creative brain that just wasn't working. So popped up my favorite movie, Spider-Verse, just studied that. And yeah, just found inspiration with that too. But I'm really glad that you brought up the video games because that's something I wouldn't have thought of studying, but I just do it subconsciously, like you said.
You've talked a lot about picking things up, learning on the fly, the fact that you weren't aware of a GoPro camera while in college to be able to pick up cameras and get an internship with the Chiefs as a videographer and editor. I'm jealous because, I mean, you just seem to like pick up whatever inspires you, but
yeah.
you followed your paths like organically, I guess. It seems like something interested you. You followed it. You put in the effort to see where you could go. So over this time where you've evolved from being a videographer to an editor to a motion designer, 3D motion designer, how has what you learned before informed and impacted what you're doing today with the 3D movements and everything?
You know, definitely lucky to have been mentored by a lot of very talented individuals that taught me a lot about cinematography and just like getting that eye I have now, I guess. Specifically, my guy, Evan Miller, shout out Evan Miller. He taught me a lot of like patience with everything and also just, you know, just the cinematography of sports and what we like, what we don't like. And yeah, and I'm just fortunate to dive into 3D with that background already because I find that sometimes some other people have to learn the cinematography part after the motion design. So it's kind of flipped, but yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, for sure. So 3D motion design is different than motion design. It's one of the rabbit holes you can go down as part of the larger motion design umbrella, I guess, so to speak.
Right.
I guess when the time of how long things take you in 3D, from my perspective, is exponentially longer than anything that I do in 2D. Can you kind of talk about your process there? And, you know, you mentioned a 2-week timeline, which sounds pretty tight. Is that pretty common? And how long would you like for most of these projects?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so far averaging about 2.5 weeks. The fastest one that I've done was with a lot of help from my guy Ben and Emilio, was 1 week for the Clippers. They just needed some help, and I'm like, okay, let me get my squad, the Avengers. But as far as like the process, yeah, it's very collaborative. So, you know, I set up a Milano, and I mean, I agree with you with the whole rabbit hole of 3D and motion and AI now. Like that, I would say AI has helped a ton, whether it's ChatGPT with storyboarding, enhancing ideas. Or Midjourney with like coming up with mood boards or even assets, texturing and stuff like that. Like there's so much that we can talk about and get lost in that conversation. But specifically for this answer about process is I use AI to come up with a storyboard of like, okay, it's going to be a wide angle of a certain building. We're going macro into whatever and then get that approved. And then if there's something specific that I do not know how to do or have the time to, whether it's modeling or specific, simulation work, I call up either Emilio or Ben or someone else that can help out and just elevate the product.
And on the same note of time, like you gave us an average start time of, you know, 2 to 3 weeks start to finish for a project. But that still seems like, you know, a tight window.
Yeah.
How do you manage your time day to day? Because, you know, subtract 24 hours of how much time you got to sleep and eat and do all these things. Yeah. How do you schedule out your days? Do you schedule out your days or are you just waking up and like starting your project? And like, what does that typically look like? Or does it change for each project?
Yeah. So sometimes it changes because, intro video season, like a lot of people are calling and I just have to like balance my life in general, but I like routine and I firmly believe that just going to the gym or just doing something active throughout the day is very, very important. But me personally, I want to do it in the morning just to start off the day like right and like energized and just with a win immediately. So that's something I do. And then after that, just go straight to work. Sometimes I don't eat lunch until like 3 or 4 lately in the past month, but I try and stick to a certain routine, whether it's eat at this certain time, because if you don't, you're going to miss it. And that's just a bad habit. And then it just, you know, snowball effect with everything else. But that I would say have a routine. And that's something I'm learning with sleep, because sometimes I get so like in the zone with creative and like, okay, it's 2:00. I should probably go to bed. Because if I don't, then I won't go to the gym, and then it's another snowball effect of, you know, more bad habits. But yeah, I would say that routine.
Yeah, you started to get into a little. We can definitely touch on the AI because I think talking about ways in which it's helpful. I think there's a lot of negative conversation around it, but understanding how you're using it for positive, I think is a good idea for us to talk about.
Yep.
You just mentioned having a little bit of a work life balance as much as you can. How tough is it for you to have something that you love doing and being able to put boundaries around that or step away or go, okay, it's 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I mean, sounds like sometimes you stay up till 2 a.m. when the creative juices are flowing and you're getting all these projects and you're like, oh, okay, this is a really fun project. I love it. You can just keep going and going and going. Maybe until the wheels fall off at some point. And you said you've understood how to when and how you need a break now. So how do you try and find that balance and put boundaries around what you do since you love it?
Sometimes, you know, life gets in the way and it teaches you it in the most hard way. I want to say last year, because it was my first year last year and going through all those intro videos, I didn't know anything with boundaries. I didn't know how long these projects would take, yada, yada, yada. So I just kind of overworked and just like, I didn't pass out, but I just like realized in the middle of the day, like, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I need to change something. Whether that be rest, whether that be go to the gym. So I would say, yeah, having that hard lesson was very helpful for me. So now I don't want to repeat that. And because I don't, let me have a routine. Let me just stop working, because I'm sure the creative juices will be back. And it does me more harm than good when I do that. So I would say that.
Yeah, let's jump into the AI. You talked a little bit about how you use it to generate textures. And can you just talk through how you started getting into that and what you use it for on a regular basis that you find beneficial to your workflow?
Yeah, the technology nowadays is crazy. Like, I wish I had this when I first started, because it would just, you know, expedite a lot. But I've been using Adobe stuff. Shout out Adobe. I've been using Midjourney just for storyboarding textures, like you said, because sometimes these other websites like textures.com or whatever don't have a certain look. And I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta do it myself. Or ideally, you know, contract out Illustrator. And yeah, there's just so many, like, you know, what is it, pathways we can take this conversation, whether it be good or bad. But yeah, I mostly use it for storyboarding, because I see, this is why I don't want to talk about AI, because there's so many ways that this conversation can go and we don't want to touch that.
Why not? What do you mean? We're putting everything out on the table. I mean,
are you telling me that it's not Andy behind all these renders, that it's actually AI?
No, it's not AI at all. I mean, there's even stuff called, what is it, Gaussian splatting and like nerfs for Unreal Engine. It's like, oh, I need to keep up because if I don't, I'm going to be left behind.
What are you primarily working in? Are you using a third-party render for your stuff like Octane or Redshift? What's your general workflow like?
Yeah, so I use Cinema 4D, and then render engine of choice, the best in my opinion, is Octane. Also, shout out my guy David Aryu. He's they call him the Octane Jesus. So I'm like, okay, Octane Jesus, let's go. Yeah, Octane, I would say it's the best one in my opinion. Just the photorealism of it is incredible. And
I agree. I'm not a 3D designer, but I can always tell Octane versus Redshift, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I can tell. Maybe I can't. Maybe I'm like blowing myself up a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like I can tell. Are you doing a lot of rendering on site with your own stuff? Are you going to like a node farm and paying for rendering off site? How's that workflow work for
you? So ideally, you know, I do it in-house, but sometimes, you know, other projects have to be done. So I send it off to a render farm. I used to use Drop and Render because it's literally just one click and you're good. No other prep work. But I recently switched to RNDR from Octane people. And it's a lot cheaper, one. A little more prep work to it, but it's faster, it's cheaper. And that's a win for the client. That's a win for me. And yeah, just for everyone. But once I do my renders here, it gets really, really hot. So sometimes I don't want to do it just because of that. Yeah, I use render
physically hot, not like hot, like your work is so fire.
right. Yeah, no, physically hot. Like
physically hot. You save money on heating, though, in the winter.
Oh, 100%. Okay, funny story about that. When I was doing the Chiefs Super Bowl ring, they not prohibited me, but it was like let's use a render farm as like the last resort because, you know, might be leaks or the people out there might be a huge fan. They'll take pictures. And so we're like, okay. And that render took, and I had to do it twice, one for landscape, or what is it, widescreen, one for vertical. Each time it took 28 hours, and I could not use a render form, and it was 4K. It's so many frames, and I had to do it overnight for what, 3 or 4 days, 4 nights. I could not sleep. This is back when I was in Kansas City, so my computer was right next to me, literally right next to me. And even with the cracked windows, nope, cannot do it. I woke up in a sweat. Sounds gross, but it was like, oh, there's no other choice.
Wait, so when you delivered it, like how soon was it before they published it?
I want to say.
Then you have to backtrack that into your, you know, delivery time, right?
Yeah. So that's the very first thing we talked about, timeline, and like ideally we finalize the cameras, the lighting, the textures, whatever, at least 5 days before you post. And they're like, okay, we'll make it work. And so they recognize it from the get-go, like, okay, we got to stop with edits at this day because we need all that time. And thankfully, the higher-ups, the Hunts, loved it. So, okay, we're good. No edits. Or not as many edits, but, you know, it's all timing. Time management.
That's wild. I have anxiety just thinking about it. And nothing to do with that project.
But thankfully, around that time, it was just that one project, and I didn't have others because it was also a week before I moved out here. So it was like, I got to manage my time perfectly because, yeah.
Yeah, so with that being said, like, are you just taking on, like, one at a time? Or are you able to, like, what's the setup to be able to take on multiple things?
Yeah, that's funny you said it because sometimes people comment, yo, the whole league is getting Andy work. I'm like, I try. it's all time management, and I never bite off more than I can chew. But sometimes, you know, there's a really cool opportunity, and I'm like, okay, my plate is full, but I can make time as long as it doesn't sacrifice, you know, the quality of work for client A or client B. But that's when I start reaching out to my homies or pass it on to the homies and like, hey, like this cool project came up, but I can't do it. Do you want to hop on it? Or, you know, let's collaborate and, you know, make it even better.
You know, you guys kind of stepped a little bit into AI, but kind of stepped around it. What are your overall thoughts? Like,
we stepped, you know, in it.
Yeah, and then he was like, yeah, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say much.
But, you know, I have an opinion on AI that is probably different from a lot of other people. When it comes to creativity, because some people think, oh, it's going to replace jobs and all that. But I also think, I personally think that it's going to enhance what people who know what they're doing and people who don't know what they're doing.
Yep.
It will give us more opportunities to do more. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with that. It's the only part that I never want to really touch on is like, oh, like specific illustration work, concept art, like, I don't know where those jobs are going, to be honest. So that's why I try and like, okay, instead of, you know, doing this illustration for the Chiefs in AI, let me hire up my friend and just, you know, all work together with that. Just because like, I just feel weird about using AI to do it for free, I guess, or for $20 if you pay the Midjourney fees. Yeah, I don't know. It's it's interesting. So that's why I tend to not really use AI as a final product like a lot of people do, or not a lot, but, you know, a good amount. I use it as a tool, like you said, whether it's storyboarding, whether it's texture, but never like a full-on render. Like Justin was saying, he was thinking, oh, the Andy animations are AI. but yeah, maybe next year I'll experiment with it and have it as like a overlay of some sort, like Spider-Verse, like that whole movie, like kind of changed my mind. I'm like, okay, I can't do this in After Effects, or maybe I can, but what if I just use AI to do it? But even in that, there's so many avenues that you can take, you know, creative, and very, very talented, you know, coders and just prompters that I want to collaborate with. So yeah, I would say I use AI as a tool, but not as final.
And part of that is just knowing. Like, it's one thing to just say, okay, I'm going to go into this AI software, type this, and hope for the best. But actually, like, you still have to have a skill and knowledge to be able to get what you want to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's putting your tools with their tools to come up with a product. And then it's still, I don't care what AI software, like, it's probably never going to be 100% where you want it. So there's still some back end, whether it's ChatGPT or Midjourney or whatever, you're still going to have to put some input in it. So
it's not as simple as type in the chat and boom, find a product. Like, it's nowhere near that. Maybe, at least right now, maybe it will in the future, but right now I don't believe it's like production ready.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even for Thanksgiving, I can say this. for Thanksgiving, I was doing some captions for some posts, and I still ended up having to like rework half of the suggested caption. Yeah. So, but it does speed up the process of like, oh, this is, you know, create this. Okay, I can change this. The hashtags are always not going to be what I want, so yeah. I got to go.
The emojis.
So it's right. And some of the emojis, I'm like, oh, I never would have thought to add emojis here. But I'm really like leaning more into wanting to at least go down that road now.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, 6 months ago where I'm like, I don't like it.
Yeah, 6 months ago, I really didn't like it. But now I'm warming up to the idea of, you know, collaborating with more AI people. What is it? I was going to say something about storyboarding. So, fun fact, I use a lot of AI, ChatGPT, so nothing like images, for the NBA Finals with the Nuggets, because they were doing a post after every win because, you know, first championship, so they're going all out. And so I'm like, okay, they beat the Suns, and I couldn't think of anything besides destroying the Suns logo, but that's also disrespectful, so we're like, okay, well, let's not do that. How else
and we
can
don't
we...
want to destroy the sun.
Exactly. So we're thinking, okay, how can we visually say like, oh, we just melted the sun or, you know, beat or turned down their flame, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, ChatGPT, like, I'm an animator, blah, blah, blah. Give me ideas on how to say this visually. And so I said, okay, so we're going to be on ice, mountains in the back. And this will be subtle, but you'll notice once you see it, there's a sunset. The sun is setting. So the light is going out, and then we can, instead of destroying the logo, let's have ice just engulf it, and then do it that way. So it's visually saying, you know, the sun, the heat of the sun is like being put down, I guess, in a way, and the sun is setting, so no more suns. So kind of a play on words, I guess, play on the branding. And then once they beat the Lakers, they were like, okay, how about if you recreate the, what is it, the Walk of Fame? And put the star and the Nuggets logo on there.
Stars, yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, that's awesome, because I would have just done the Hollywood sign, but that's even better. So that's how I am currently using ChatGPT to just sometimes just play with ideas and like, okay, what's something clever? What's something kind of witty that we can create visually?
That's really cool. I like that. We've talked about it with other creatives. And so I always like asking people, what do you tell your family that you do for a living? Like, what do you tell your parents? Because I feel like that's always a fun game. Like, what do my parents think I do?
My grandparents, to start there, they don't really know, especially with the internet, like they don't know what it is. I just tell them like, oh, I make commercials on TV, even though like that's not really true because not a lot of my work is on TV, just the recent one. But that's my short answer to them. My parents think it's just like social media videos, but they recognize some brands like the Chicago Bulls, ESPN, but others like, nope, we don't know who the Lakers are. We don't know who, you know, Chargers, all these other teams. So I'm like, eh, they're just commercials. They're just NFL, NBA teams. I just worlds.
That's so interesting because I feel like, you know, you mentioned being a biology major, and I feel like if I were to tell my family, like, yeah, I'm study biology, but I'm going in this completely other direction. Yep. My mom would have words to say. Like, did your family have anything to say about it?
Yeah. So that started, 2018 when I took the Chiefs internship because I was on the path to go to medical school. And then I was like, you know what? Actually, I don't want to go anymore. But I still wanted to keep my, you know, career within the medicine field. So I was going to attend physical therapy school. But then this opportunity popped into my life for the Chiefs. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to submit an application and whatever happens, happens. If they say yes, I'll take that as a sign of God from God saying, all right, go do this. And that happened. It was weird because I've never shot sports and they said yes. I think they just like the editing mostly. And it just worked. And that was a pivotal moment in my career just because I learned so much from that internship. But yeah, that conversation was a little tough because I remember vividly we were in the kitchen. I told my mom, I'm moving next week. Where are you moving? Kansas City. I took an internship. And she was like, oh, what about school? And that was a tough conversation. But they were very supportive, thankfully. And they're like, okay, you know, go do your thing. And, you know, I told them, like, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but school will always be there. Okay, I could always go back to that.
You talked a lot about collaboration. For many creatives, we live in a world of isolation, especially in the freelance world. And we try to learn all of these skills so that we can, you know, bring in all this for one person. And then we end up burning ourselves out and then we cry in a corner. Maybe not really. Why do you take the collaboration route? And I actually love that. I love the collaboration route, which is a lot of what I try to do myself.
Yeah.
Why do you take that route as opposed to learning everything all at once?
Specifically for 3D animation, there's so many routes, whether it's becoming an expert in simulation work, becoming an expert in yada, yada, yada.
List them off.
Okay, there's
You got modeling, you got rendering, you got lighting, you got
texturing, materials, character, rigging, just so many different avenues. And it's like, okay, I can't do any of that. I kind of don't want to do that because that requires even more patience, especially animal rigging, animating, you know, just characters in general. A lot of patience, and it's very hard to make it look right. So I'll just leave that to the experts. And then if I need that asset, I'm willing to pay, you know, what they're worth, because that requires a ton of patience. But I love collaborating bringing on people because, what is it? Shout out my good friend and client, Ivan. He presented me some very, Ivan Lycon. I forgot how to say his last name. And I told him, like, hey man, if I ever butcher your name, not my fault. But him and his agency, they presented me with an opportunity to, do work for the Times Square screens. I'm like, yo, this is what? Times Square? This is crazy. I can't believe my work was out there. And I'm like, okay, I just love that feeling of, you know, being presented an opportunity. And I'm always like, okay, I want to do that, but for someone else. And so anytime I hit up Emilio or Ben or, like, you know, other freelancers, contractors, one, it is to elevate the product, but I also just want to pay it forward.
Having met you for the first time here today, you don't come off as cocky or like this, like brash or whatever. Like, where does that come from too? It's like being humble about the work, being confident in the work, and just, you know, putting other people in positions to win with you.
I think I would say my parents just, you know, just do a good job in school, be well presented. And because I'm the oldest of five brothers. And so I had to find out a lot on my own, even just the English language, because I was the first one to learn English in the family. I would say that's where it stems from, because you just never know who, you know, it's a very small world, very, very small world. So you just never know, you know, if you come off cocky to someone or just don't collaborate well with someone, they can tell someone else, they get to someone else, and just like snowball effect. But yeah, and I'm not saying that I'm only this way and this is fake. Like, I think I am genuinely like this. But I would say, yeah, just be a good person.
Nicolette Rojo says, how do you stand out in such a competitive field when you're just trying to grow to the next stage of your career?
I would say embrace it, because I'm a firm believer in things happening for a reason or things delaying for a reason. Like, you don't know why that delay is happening, but just keep at it and just keep learning, because your time will come. And it's tough. I know, like, you know, seeing peers, you know, getting clients left and right, or peers leveling up in a certain skill faster than you. But like, that's where you should not compare yourself to others, because you're on your own path and your time will come. It's just like, you gotta just keep moving forward. I'll just say that. Just keep moving forward and collaborate, and just like learn from everyone. Like, DM me, DM someone else, just like ask questions, but just keep at it. Patience.
I like how you said that, for many reasons. One, we have to get out of the mindset that we have to learn it all by ourselves, or we have to be the lead on something. Because like, you know, the people that are in your group, whether it's the person doing the modeling or, you know, some of the other stuff, they could do this job, you know, they could go to the Chiefs and get that job, right? Mm-hmm. Or to whoever. But the fact that you're all coming together for a common cause, you know, to get a project done.
Yep.
That speaks volumes. Like, we don't have to do this thing by ourselves. Right. And honestly, if we all go in together to do things, we'll probably make more money than if we did it by ourselves.
That too. And money, you know, money is great, but it's not everything. And it's just right. a lot more fun. And also it just helps. Like, it helps. It definitely helps for sure. But also just like the whole product and the whole process of like bouncing off ideas with each other is just so fun. Mm. And yeah, motion design can be very lonely because like you're literally just in an office, you know, by yourself doing this yep. in front of a screen. So it's very cool to collaborate with others, especially on projects that aren't in sports. Don't know if you guys saw this one we did with some soccer players, and we actually had, I think, 5 people on the project, 1 character modeler, an animator, someone whatever, and then a director. Shout out my guy Aiden Minton. He's presented me with a lot of those like unique, what is it, animation opportunities. And I'm glad that you brought up the, you know, everyone coming together to, you know, make this happen. Right now we're working on, spoiler alert, we're working on a video for Metro Boomin and for the Spider-Verse. Yeah, Metro. And that was crazy because like I'm a huge fan of Metro and so when and Spider-Man. Spider-Verse specifically. And so when that happened, I'm like, yo, did I just manifest this? Because I always, like I told you guys earlier, I always have Metro in the background, even right now. Very low volume. But that one, yeah, we have, I think, 4 people on it. And it's just like, it's going to be a new visual for sure. Just like bouncing off ideas and tech.
Yeah, speaking of Metro, I just watched Saturday, I want to say, something on Instagram where he was... where he had an orchestra mm-hmm. and he had an opera singer singing one of his songs, and it was so beautiful.
So sick, yep.
And I was going to say something until you mentioned Metro, because you said something about, you know, just waiting your turn or whatever, or like,
it your takes time will come. Time. Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, if you want to go fast, go along. If you want to go far, go together, right?
Yep.
And I really can't emphasize this enough to creatives. There are a lot of us out here. We don't have to do it by ourselves, and we get the opportunity to learn from each other when we don't get in our own ways out of selfishness.
Yep.
So... as much as you can, instead of, you know, when we were all coming up, it was internships or volunteering and getting experience. But now everybody wants to get paid for every single thing. And yeah. I understand it. Mm-hmm. But there's still value in learning without getting a return right then.
Yeah.
It may be a month. It may be 6 months. Because if you do a good job on this project, and it's not, oh, come work with me, you know, this exposure. It's yep. not that. It's about humbling yourself to be around other creatives.
Yep.
And bouncing ideas off of each other. Like, there's only so much that can run through your brain from you.
Yep.
But when you put what you have in your brain with other people, let's say all 5 of us did a project together, mm-hmm. everyone brings something to the table.
Yep.
And you don't have to do it all alone. So keep doing it.
I appreciate that. Definitely. Yeah, hopefully we do all collaborate on a project. Why not?
Hey,
we'll make it happen.
I'm in.
Yeah. I think this whole episode has basically been an answer to that question that you just asked, because he talked about development, sitting down and learning something and finding something that he loved along a process, like when he had an interest. He developed that interest and explored it, not necessarily like saying, this is exactly what I want to do, but tested mm-hmm. the waters and took a course and yep. figured out if he liked it and kept on going and evolving that way. And I think so often that we think everybody's on the same path and course as us. And the reason I wanted Andy to call out all the different types of 3D specialists there are is because you don't really understand or know how deep an area is until you get into it. And then it goes way deeper than you can expect. So I think there's a little bit of a thought process about, well, everyone's trying to do the same exact thing that I'm trying to do. So I feel like I'm falling behind. So I don't think that's necessarily the case. It's just a matter of deciding what you want to do, what a little bit more of your specialty is and what you can offer. And I think Andy's a great example of that. Like if somebody in sports wants to hire somebody to do a badass ring video or an intro video, Andy is one of one when it comes to stuff that you see and you're like, this is Andy's work. So, you know, props to you for making that happen and doing the awesome work and working with other people too to bring, you know, bring the best out of everything. So
absolutely,
I think it's been an awesome conversation and you outlined that whole question perfectly throughout the whole conversation.
Absolutely. I appreciate that a lot. And that's what I'm, like I said earlier, that's what I'm trying to do in 2024, just less projects, but you know, hopefully bigger budgets, but also like more teammates. Yeah, four people is fine, five people is fine, but I want to get like a bigger team per project just because, yeah, like you said earlier, Darius, like everyone brings something different to the table. And yeah, just bouncing off ideas is the fun part for me.
Yeah, and a friend of mine here who has a, you know, we go to church together and he has a company and I have a company or whatever. But we, you know, once a quarter, or, you know, every few months we'll sit down and kind of talk about it. And he said something to me, and he's more of a wanting to do filmmaking and commercials. And he was like, you know, if we want to get to those $50,000 projects, even a $50,000 or $100,000 project may not mean $50,000 in one person's pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, that's how you get there, is you put a team of people, because one person, again, can only do so much. And so it's coming up with a strategy and plan to where, you know, the people who have the, you know, 250 or 400, 500K budgets are coming to you because they know that, you know, they may hear this episode and say, oh, he's not just one person. We can trust him to do this because it's multiple people working on it. And,
right,
you know, we can get it done within the time frame. So
100%.
Looking forward to that for real.
Appreciate that.
I think we'd all take 50K in the pocket though.
Absolutely.
It never hurts. It never hurts.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't argue about it. I mean,
absolutely. I haven't got that, but let's manifest it. Hopefully next year there's a 50K project.
You know, it's crazy because sometimes, you know, we don't often talk about prices a lot as freelancers, because it's a, you know, we don't look at it as a market. We look at it as, oh, well, competition, right?
Yeah.
But I often tell people about, we talk pricing all the time.
Oh, I do too. I'm very open about it.
And a friend of mine, who I also do some work with, he's a professional speaker, and he was telling the story about how there was a company for 3 years. They kept turning him down once he submitted this price. But once he got to a certain price point, and he wasn't even thinking about this, they finally brought him on. So he did the gig, and he asked, like, hey, you know, I've been trying to do this. And they told him, you weren't charging enough. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people won't bring you in because your price is,
yep,
you know, minimal, because you're setting that expectation for that company. Not everybody's going to be upfront with you and say, hey, you're not charging enough, yep, raise your price, because sometimes we've conditioned ourselves to say, do it as lean as possible, as cheap as possible, and just get it done. But there are the real people out there are saying, hey, here's what we're trying to work with, or you're undercutting yourself. And when they come back, because you're going to do a great job, if you charge X amount of dollars and it's way low, they're going to expect that every time.
Yeah.
So we're going to do
like a siren in the background on that too.
Absolutely.
It's New York.
It's like really
poetic.
Need a little Lil Wayne playing in the back, oh, little fireman. But yeah, I think that episode on how we're setting the market as creatives is going to be because everybody's not the same, yeah. But everybody's not Andy Torres.
But the little nugget that you mentioned of charging very, very low, at that point, I'd just rather do it for free because I feel like, okay, I can present something to the table, and if you don't value it, then that's fine. But I still want to work with you. I still want to help you, come up with the vision. I'll do it for free in that case. There's this current project or past project that I charge X amount, and they couldn't meet me there, but I still wanted to work with them. They wanted to work with me. So we came to a middle ground and say like, hey, look, still want to work with you, make the vision happen, but probably have to cut out a certain part of it, specifically a 3D model, because that was going to take like half the budget to get it done in like 4 days. But yeah, that's what I think you should be charging. You're worth 100%, but sometimes you just got to do it for free because you just never know where that might lead, because I think one of my first projects was just spec work for Mahomes, actually. That was one of my first clients, I guess. And that's how, what is it? That's how the Clippers found me back in 2020 or 2021. Hey, we saw you did this for Mahomes. How much would you charge for us? It's due in a week, 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, wow, I can get paid to do this. So yeah, you just never know. So I think making it happen, obviously, if it's possible, but if it's possible, just do it.
To kind of close on that, one of the other things that you have to consider is that's the value of good storytelling as a company. And I'm giving them, the clients a little free nugget here is if you can make people believe in what you're trying to do, that you may not be able to afford now what their price is, but some people, they're like, oh, I want this. And you know nothing about their like you were just saying, you found an opportunity where they couldn't meet you 100% at what you would normally do, but you believed in what they did. And I'm not saying that, companies should work on just trying to nickel and dime creatives. Please don't do that. But if it's somebody out there who, hey, I really like their work, I'm just going to shoot my shot. I had a client that I have to invoice today who called me about a month and a half ago. And the first thing she said, I don't know if I can afford you, but I'm going to lay this out there and you tell me yes or no. I'm good with that. And they actually had more budget than I thought that they may have as a nonprofit. But love their, their vision and their story. But some people, they don't. That's why everybody needs to tell their story. And if you want to tell your story, just hit me up. Free plug.
Free plug. No, I love talking business, love talking pricing. And yeah, just relationship building in general. Like I said earlier, just be genuine. Just be straight up. Be forward. Like, hey, if you can't meet me, that's fine. But like, I still want to work with you. But now they know, for future, like, okay, let's get him. If he does a good job, let's get him or her that budget. I did a piece for ESPN last month, 2 months ago. Budget was great. And they hit me up again and they just loved the work and they gave even more budget. So I'm like, okay, let's bring on Ben. Let's bring on Emilio. Let's bring on Aiden. Let's collaborate.
Yep. This has been great. I love
it. It's been awesome. Congratulations, Andy, on all of the accolades, the work, the commitment that you've had. I think we all need to take a step back and realize we're in a place where we belong, like you mentioned. So thank you for joining us and congratulations on all the incredible work. We're super excited to see the rest of where your career journey takes you and all of the amazing projects that you'll continue to take on.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time. Appreciate the opportunity to share my story. And hopefully, inspire someone or like you said, have people take a step back and realize, okay, let's stop comparing. Let's just keep at it and it'll come.
Yep.
And if anyone else out there is interested in animation or anything 3D or just want to chop it up, talk freelance, talk whatever, just hit me up. open book.
Yeah, where can people find you? What's
perfect
your
plug? Let's go. My ad is @AndyTorres_A. I think that's on all my socials. Find me on LinkedIn. Find me on my website.
Love it.
Following now.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.